It is the 2nd of May. Oh, by the way, you know about Star Wars Day, right? Saturday? May the 4th be we have. Okay, good. You already know about that one. So we're going to finish up mutual funds. And then, can I give you something? Somebody else? I'm sorry? Oh, you're turning it in. And then we might finish up. We're going to finish up mutual funds. And then we might get started on real estate and other investment alternatives. We have a lot to do today. Baffle the brokers. Got your baffle the brokers? Do you need one? Okay. What is baffle the broker? This allows you to ask me any question whatsoever about investments, about the credit, about insurance, about goal setting, future value. Why is the sky blue? Where do babies come from? If you're so smart, how come you're not rich? So, and we'll put it together in our last presentation where we wrap everything up and review. So we need these. Turn them in, please, today. Because it takes me a while. Some of you guys ask me pretty tough questions sometimes, so it takes a lot of time. Other times people ask silly questions, which gives me time to come up with a silly answer. So that is cool, too. So baffle the broker. All right, so who's got a good joke? Let's turn this on. Who's got a good joke? Anybody got a good joke? Not this guy. Did I tell you about Adam when he was talking to God? No, maybe. Okay, well, anyway, so Adam's talking to God, and he's saying, God, why'd you make Eve so pretty? Did I tell you this already? And God said, that's easy. That's so you would love her. And Adam says, and why'd you make her so soft and curvy? And God said, that's easy. That's so you'd love her. And Adam said, and why'd you make her so dumb? And God said, oh, that's easy. That's so she'd love you. You think it's the anti-women, but it's not. The battle of the sexes. The best jokes around. You didn't like that one? You haven't been married long enough, that's the problem. Some people can relate to this. Okay, so what we had done, we had gone from the most riskiest mutual funds, which of course are invested in stocks, although there are some that are even riskier that you should stay far away from. And we saw how the explosion of different funds in that world has been created by the different categories that you all have to pick one from column A, one from column B, one from column C. And then we went to bonds, which are boring but reliable, all the way through balanced funds, which we're going to see a balanced fund, a well-run balanced fund that's done very well in the past. Doesn't mean it's going to do well in the future. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. But it's a very cool option for people who are terrified, frightened, and especially when you get older. And then money market being the stable mutual funds, you're not going to lose any money, you're not going to make that much money. Cool. And then we saw Fidelity. So that's where we'll start here. We'll start with fund families, then we'll concentrate on a single mutual fund, and then see how that has done for us, because you have to focus in on at least one. And then we'll go back and take a look at some illustrations, because we saw how bonds do over time, we saw how stocks do over time. What happens if we use a balanced fund? Cool? Questions, thoughts? You excited? Yeah, of course. No? Okay, oh well. I was. I am still. Okay, so a family of funds exists when one investment company manages a group of mutual funds. Funds in the family vary in their objectives. You can move your money from one fund to another within a fund family, almost always with no charge. You're not going to charge you again. Say you had to pay that upfront fee or whatever. But if it's in a taxable account, you're going to create a taxable transaction. Because the IRS says, hey, look, you had this company's mutual fund, and you sold it, and then you exchanged to this company's mutual fund, and that's a taxable transaction. If it's in your IRA, your 401k, it doesn't matter. You can move them willy-nilly. You can move them anytime you want. But here, the IRS is going to say, oh, that was a taxable transaction. So, but you shouldn't, taxes are important, but you shouldn't have that dictate your investment strategy, in my humble opinion. Now, Forbes said this. I thought it was a very good phrase, and I think it's true. You choose a family, not a fund. Because it used to be that companies had one or two mutual funds, and then they had four or five, and then they had 12 or 25, and then they had 150, and we saw Fidelity with 300, 400, 500 funds. So here are the major mutual fund companies. We saw Fidelity Investments, and for dozens of years, Fidelity was number one. Then along comes Vanguard, and they started the Index 500, remember the index funds we discussed? Very, very popular. Most people have no idea what's in the S&P 500. It's the 500 largest companies. But then when you look at it, it is skewed. It is pushed towards the largest companies. If we have time, we'll take a look at that. Because in the 123 class, that's one of our bonus assignments. What's in the S&P 500, by the way? So they became very, very popular, and now they advertise, and people will tell you, oh, you should only go with Vanguard funds. Whenever you hear something like that, whenever you hear people say, oh, you should only do this, like, forget it, it's wrong, in my humble opinion. And so now Fidelity is number two. American funds, they're actually, they call themselves the Capital Group. They've been around for decades, and they have never done any advertisement. Now they're starting to do advertisement. And you don't even know, but you've seen their building in L.A. Why? Because they don't even have their name on the skyscraper. So why do you think it's popular? Because directors go, cool. We don't have to, you know, CGI out the name of the company you photograph a skyscraper, it's got the name of the company. They don't even have their name on their company. But now they're advertising. Have I told you what to invest in all throughout this? Have I said, you know, invest in this stock or invest in that bond? Well, there's an exception. They're my buddies. They're my homies, as they say. I like this company. But now here's another great company, T. Rowe Price. You might have heard of them. They advertise quite a bit. They're based in Baltimore. J.P. Morgan bought a bunch of mutual funds. Now they're one of the largest. BlackRock, who are they? Anybody in the military? Yes. Who?
BlackRock.
Oh, I don't know. I thought they were in New York. I'm not sure. I don't know where they're based. That's a good question. T. Rowe Price is Baltimore. American Funds is Los Angeles, believe it or not. But they're all over the world. All these companies are all over the world. But BlackRock is, I'm not sure where they're based. Look it up. But BlackRock is very smart. They're actually the world's largest money manager. But this is just their mutual funds. They have other parts. Anybody in the military? Anybody? Were you in the military? Or the TSP? These are the guys that run the TSP. Yeah, if you look in the small print, BlackRock. And then Franklin Templeton, excellent company, really well run. Next Thursday, we actually have a representative coming at noon for the investment club. He's a wholesaler, which means he doesn't sell to the public. He sells to registered representatives. He represents their company to financial representatives. And I've met him. He's pretty sharp. So he'll be here next Thursday at noon. TIAA, we talked about Teachers Insurance Annuity. So Dimensional Funds is a very, very popular company in registered investments. And then PIMCO, registered representatives with stockbrokers. And then PIMCO, they're based up in Newport Beach, Pacific Investment Company. But the top three, they're huge compared to the others. Now, what am I doing here? Something's not, okay. What happened, dear students? Something's missing. Something's missing. You're supposed to be saying something right there, but I think it got put in the back, so I have to redo it. But we saw Fidelity, right? We saw Fidelity. And we saw they have hundreds of mutual funds. Vanguard has a couple hundred. American used to only have about 30, but now they're up to about 50. So we're going to take a look at American funds. Why? Because we're going to take a look at what can go right and what can go wrong. Now, what's going on here? Let me see if I can move center back. It's not there. It disappeared. Center back. There's supposed to be something right there. It's gone. No, okay. So let's now go to... Oh, no, where is it? Here it is. I'm sorry, I should have done this during plan during the exam, but I didn't. I completely forgot. I'm getting very forgetful. Anybody got any good jokes? No? Okay. Come on, it's all good. Well, did I tell you about the fire at the circus?
No.
Yeah, it was intense. You heard about the kidnapping, didn't you?
No.
He woke up.
Yeah.
How about the joke about the vacuum cleaner?
No.
Sucks. And the worst one was from a student. You heard about the joke about the piece of paper? It's terrible. And then, was anybody at Earth Day last week? No? That's Sunday? I was there. There was a booth about sea lions and other marine animals, and they had the sea lion joke. When your sea lion goes to college, which class does he or she take? You don't know? Art. Okay, so we saw Fidelity. Now let's take a look at American. And American has, now they've added more. How do you get rid of this? There, it doesn't get rid of it. I want to get rid of this. There it goes. How do you get rid of it? Oh, please, computer, please wake up. No, it's going to tell me that it wants me to join Acrobat Reader, something or other. There, go away. Go away. How do you get rid of it? Oh, well, I can't get rid of it. There it goes. Okay. So now, they used to only have about 30, so it was a little easier to watch. And they used to have red. I'll show you the red. So this is their growth. Notice they don't have any aggressive growth funds. This company does not believe in aggressive growth funds. They think they're too darn scary for people. I agree with them. But here's the growth funds. Here's the growth in income. They've added some growth in income, so some of them are not very old. Here's their equity income, and then the balance funds, and then there's all the bond funds, the green, and then finally this color. Well, I'm not sure exactly what it is, the money market fund. But what we can see from here is the risk versus return. So look at the growth funds. Look how long they've been around, 67, 84, 73, 73. Where's the lifetime? Lifetime return. How do you get rid of this guy? I guess you can't get rid of this guy up here. But what kind of lifetime return can we expect from growth funds? This guy's only been around since 99. But look, 11, 13. It's a very good, remember we talked about the growth fund of America? It's actually a capital appreciation fund. But is that pretty good? Would you be happy with that? Yeah.
I remember the guy from investment book came and he said there's like a 10% for the mutual fund.
Who said that?
Or not guaranteed, but like it usually the average is 10%.
If you get 10% from your growth fund, you should be very, very happy. Yeah.
I think it was a Franklin Templeton.
Franklin Templeton? Oh, is that Professor Greenwald?
Yeah, Greenwald, yeah.
Well, that's what he's shooting for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He won't say that because he could lose his license. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be careful. Yeah, you cannot guarantee anything. Yeah. Unless you're a bank, then it has FDIC insured or a credit union, NCUA. Then you can say, yes, you're going to get a 1%. But that's about it. So, yeah. But notice a couple of them did. Now, this guy's been around. This guy started in 99, right before the bear market 2000 to 2002, and then 2008 and 9. But this guy started in 73, so they took advantage of the 80s and 90s where life was good. Would you be happy with that? Now, if we move down the risk versus return, we see the growth in income. Is the growth in income? Now, again, these stones only been around for a few years. This one's been around since 2014. It's actually not done very well, which is it's a good idea to buy it now, right? But what can we expect from growth in income? 8-9%. Look at what a couple of these people have done since 1934, 1952, 1950. Over 11%. Pretty good? Would you be happy with that? Less risk, not 13%, but less reward. Then here's the equity income. These are the companies like railroad companies and food companies that aren't growing really fast, but are paying us dividends. 87, 73. Not quite as exciting, but less risky. Are you with me? Okay, and then there's the balance fund. This one's only been around for, few years again from the Great Recession, and it's global. And here's that American Balance Fund. We're going to take a look at what that's done pretty soon. And then we get into the bond funds. What kind of returns? You notice they have a whole bunch of new bond funds, so forget those. But this is actually pretty darn good. That's their junk bond fund. High income trust, very tricky. But notice what kind of return can we get from bonds? Exciting returns from bonds? Yes?
Does that account for the tax rate on them? Because it says the U.S. government securities like underperforms, but does it outperform them when you account for that?
You mean the muni bond funds?
Yeah,
the government securities fund, this one you're not going to pay state income taxes, but you have to pay federal income taxes. The federal government taxes their own bonds, but they can't tax muni bonds. The states can't tax the federal bonds. So here you're going to pay federal income taxes, but not state income taxes. Down here, you don't pay any federal income taxes. And if you buy one in you notice they have a California fund and a New York fund, because those are high tax states, New York and California. So you buy that fund in California or New York, you won't pay federal taxes, nor will you pay state taxes. Does that make sense? But what kind of return do we get? Do we get an exciting return from bonds? Are bonds boring?
Yeah.
But are they reliable? Wait till you see. You're going to see they are. And then what do we get from money market?
Nothing.
Garbage. Okay. Why would you put your money there? Well, there was a time when you could get 3 or 4%. But you would put your money here if you needed it in 6 months, a year. Because, because now we go back and we take a look at 2009. No, that's not what we want. We go back and take a look at 2009 and get rid of this guy. So notice can you see that? It's supposed to be red. It shows up red on my screen. Okay. This is the one-year return. At the end of 2008, what happened in the year 2008. So this is the 2009 version. What does it mean? Yeah. If you had the Growth Fund of America, which we were very happy with, you had $10,000, you now had $5,800 after 1 year. If you had the Small Cap World Fund, you had $4,800. Your $100,000 became $48,000. Now you should be quiet here. Before I was quiet because you were bored. Now you're quiet because, this is going to happen, folks, again. If you invest in stocks. Now, it might not be like 2008 where it's a bolt of lightning from the sky and we lost 40% within a few weeks. It might be like 2000 to 2002, which was more like water torture. Drip, drip, feed day, drip, drip, drip. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, if you stuck with the growth in income, did you lose as much? Almost. 38%, 43%. But did you lose as much?
No.
What about the equity income? 34, 32, the balanced. You see? Risk versus return. Now, notice the bond funds. The high yield, the junk bond fund, lost as much as the balance fund. The junk bonds tend to look more like stocks. They, when the stocks go down, they go down. But what? How did the bond funds do? They held up pretty well, didn't they? In fact, the one fund that went up was the U.S. Treasuries fund. Why is that? What happens when there's a disaster in the marketplace? It's called flight to quality. People rush to the U.S. Treasury, the safety of the U.S. Treasury, because they believe the Treasury is not going to fail. You with me? And then the even the muni bonds fell. We saw Poway. What was the other one? Capistrano. We saw that even they were down. So the muni bonds even fell. But what about the money market? Did the money market fall? No, the money market's not going to fall. But it's not going to make us a lot of money. But you won't lose. Right. There's the risk versus return. And if anybody tells you differently, oh, we got a 10% no risk guarantee. Oh, don't worry. It's guaranteed 12% annuity. We're going to give you... What do you do? Kick him in the butt as you kick him out the door. You're all quiet. Are you real quiet? Is this too boring for you? But do you understand? Risk versus return. This is going to happen to you. This is going to happen. If you invest in stocks, you're going to have years. Maybe not as dramatic as this, but it's going to happen. We're going to lose. I'm sure of it. I mean, you want to take a look. You heard about the S&P 500? How many people have heard about the index funds? The S&P 500 index fund? Have you heard about that? No? Well, that's what you should invest in. That's what people are saying. You shouldn't invest in anything else. You just put your money in a low-cost S&P 500 index fund, and you will have diversification, United States companies, low fees. Wait till you see what the hell we're talking about here. Because they're not diversified. In fact, they're anything but diversified. If we go to Vanguard's website, Vanguard.com, and we say we want to take a look at the personal investors. We want to take a look at the Index 500. That's what it's called. That's their famous fund. That's what made them the world's largest mutual fund company. And let's go index. There's Admiral shares, and then there's the old shares. The Admiral shares now you get for $10,000. They charge even less. So let's do the Index 500. And look at the fees. They're outrageously low. Look, they charge you 0.04%, which most mutual funds that are actively managed are going to charge anywhere from 0.5 to 2%, which what does that mean? If it's 1%, every $100 you have in the account, they're going to take a buck. Every $100 you have in the account, they're going to take a dollar. In this case, they're going to take 4 cents. So that's why I say, you should only go with the S&P 500. It's cheap, and you're getting the best companies in the United States. And they're right. You're getting very good. Go away. But I want to see, where's the portfolio composition? Okay. You have communication services, consumer discretion. Here they are. Here are the 10 largest, 10. This is a list of 500 companies. 500 companies. And the top 10 make up 22.5% of the index. Why is that? Because Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, these are hundreds of billions of dollars each. While other companies like Ryder Trucks or Big Five, they're tiny compared to these guys. So now what's happening? People are dumping money into the S&P 500. This happened in the late 90s. It happened again in the 2000s. Are you guys texting one another? No? Okay, good. I was just wondering, maybe we used to pass notes, but no. I had two women over here, one another. So why don't you just pass notes? It's cheaper. I mean, it's not cheaper. Actually, it's more expensive. You have to pay on paper. So people are thinking that they're well diversified. But what's happened is they are They are skewed. They are concentrated in some of the world's largest companies. Now, these are good companies. All these are good companies, right? But what did we say? Did we see Amazon's PE? Do you remember Amazon's PE? No? Let's take a look. Let's take a look at Amazon's PE. Well, who financed? Oh, right there. There's Amazon. Mr. PE. 79. Whereas Apple has a low PE. So I'm not trying to badmouth the S&P 500 index. But what I'm saying is people don't really understand what they're investing in. And what happens is people throw more and more money into the S&P 500 index. And what do the investment managers have to do? They have to buy shares with that money. They have no choice. They can't say, you know what? I think Amazon's a great company, but way overpriced. And if anything happens, of course, Amazon's going to take over the world, right? So maybe I'm wrong. But if anything goes wrong with Amazon, then the price is going to start falling. So they can't make judgment. They can't say, you know what? I think Amazon's a great company, but it's too expensive. So they have to buy more shares. And that means the S&P 500 becomes more and more skewed toward Amazon and the other companies, because as they buy more shares, what happens to the price? Everyone should say it goes up. You buy more shares, what happens to the price? Which means that the manager has to buy more shares, which means the price goes up. You see, it's a feedback mechanism. And the managers have no choice. They have to do what is told to them in the prospectus. It's an index fund. They have to buy the shares in the index fund. When the same thing happens on the way down, a company is hit for whatever reason, Boeing, because they have a couple of planes fall out of the sky. They're going to fix it. Don't worry. They're going to figure it out. The manager has to sell. They have no choice. The price falls. They sell. What happens to the price? It goes down, which means the manager has to sell more. You see what's going on here? And a long time ago, a very, very intelligent person by the name of Benjamin Graham, who wrote The Intelligent Investor, said you should be careful of any kind of investment strategy that basically removes judgment out of the equation. So I'm just frightened because I know what's going to happen. Something, whatever, recession, Amazon's going to get caught eating babies or something, I don't know, something's going to happen. And then the prices are going to fall, and then the S&P 500 is going to drop precipitously because these things make up the biggest percentage of it, and then people are going to sell, which is going to mean they're going to sell more shares, and it's going to be a spiral downward. And I just want to be emotionally ready for it because I'm going to lose a lot of money. And I don't know about you, but it'll be the tremendous opportunity for you to buy shares. Right. So, well done. Okay. Questions, thoughts, ideas? I feel like I'm preaching to you. Now, there's supposed to be something right here that says, oops, not that, 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 that. It's supposed to be something that right here. It's gone. I don't know what happened to it. I might have deleted it by accident. Because of the mutual fund scandals of 2003, three of the companies that used to be here, and one is actually very good, Alliance, and then the other one I don't like that much, Janus, and then who's the third one? They're no longer in the top 10, and so that's why this makes more sense. Wait a minute, Payano, did you just say mutual fund scandals? Do you want me to invest in an industry that is plagued with scandal? Well, as a matter of fact, yes. Since 1940, when the Investment Company Act of 1940 was created, the mutual fund industry has been regulated and escaped any hint of impropriety. Like that word, impropriety? What does it mean? Hanky-panky. Impropriety. It means they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing. In 2003, some practices that were not quite illegal, but obviously unethical, were uncovered. Only a handful of funds were affected. Oh, Putnam, right, Putnam. Oh, strong funds, Janus, Putnam, Bank of Armenia had some funds. Alliance, two people at Alliance. Alliance is a good company, folks. Now they're called Alliance Bernstein, now they call themselves AB. Two people were doing this at the company. And yet, what happens? Scandal. People just rush away from it. Now, what the hell were they doing? Make any sense what they're doing? It wasn't illegal. It wasn't illegal. But remember that you, when you buy your shares, you're with a bunch of other people, right? Now, what were they doing? They were taking advantage of the fact that the world doesn't all trade at the same time. They might have a Japan fund, right? They might have a fund that invests on the Far East. Well, if the United States market tanks in New York, it's not always the case, but it often happens that the next day, China, Japan, the Far East is going to tank, and then Europe's going to go down. It doesn't always work that way, but it tends to work that way. So what do? It's 4 o'clock in New York time, and the market's about ready to close. You sell your Japanese fund. The market in New York has fallen 2%. Now, 3 hours later, Japan's going to open up because it's the next day in Japan already, right? And the market in Japan is probably going to fall. You then, the next day, buy back your Japanese shares. You see what they just did? Smart, but unethical. Because mutual funds are never meant to be trading platforms, never meant to be things that you trade. You buy them and you hold them. That's what ETFs have become. ETFs, they say, okay, you want to buy and sell your ETF, you go right ahead. But mutual funds, no. So now what you've done essentially is stolen fractions of pennies from your fellow mutual fund investors. See how they did that? Is that illegal? No. Some companies would not allow it. Vanguard, American, they just say, no, you can't do that. If you sell, you can't buy back for 30 days. Other companies said, sure, you want to do that? We'll charge you 2%. And we'll turn around and give it back to your fellow shareholders. So you go right ahead. You want to buy and sell? We'll charge you 2%. Every time you do that, we'll give it back to the shareholders. Other companies like Putnam and Strong and Alliance, they didn't have safeguards to stop them, stop people from doing this. So that's what they did. So was it really that horrible? No, it's not really that horrible. Maybe you lost not even a dollar, maybe 1 cent on a $100,000 account. A lot different than Enron, where you lost all your money. Where you lost all your money. So some of you kind of look at me like funny. But that's okay. That's okay. Because we're going to now soon. We saved the bank. Oh, by the way, did I tell you about Dodge & Cox? Right? They're really strange, but a great company, folks. You want to see a good mutual fund company? I'll show you Dodge & Cox. But watch how weird they are. Dodge and Cox. How many mutual funds did Fidelity have? Five? Well, they have 6 now. Oh, my God, they moved up. Fidelity had 400 or 500. Vanguard has a couple hundred. American has like 60 now, 55 or so. How much does Dodge and Cox have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They just added another one. Now they have a global bond fund. They're a great company, by the way, folks. They're a competitor to American, so go ahead. I'm not trying to make any money off of that. But they're a very good company. So it shows you that the industry is just so bizarre. It's so different. So I hope you've seen that it's difficult to choose a mutual fund. Once you've chosen the mutual fund, it's incredibly easy. There's nothing for you to do. Just make sure the $50, $100 a month comes out of your checking account or your payroll, your paycheck, and you'll be fine. But picking one is difficult. Now, you're going to have to share. So kind of get together here. Share these 4. And then you guys are going to have to share. So if you can get with somebody, you can share. Because I don't have enough. Okay, if you guys could share, these 2, can you share those 2? Can you get with somebody and share over there? And then you 2, can you guys, well, she's still working. Can you come over here? Edgar, can you come over here? Can you get over to Edgar? Can you get with him? Can you get with, yeah, get together. Okay. Did you get one? Everybody got one? Yeah. Can you share one? Can you two share one? Okay, now, who? I got two more. Who needs one? Give us, here you go. Eric. And you guys got, everybody got, Daniela? This is, now, Bob, they just came out with the 2019. I don't know why they're late, but I ordered it, and it didn't come yesterday. I was hoping it would come yesterday. I ordered it last week, but I didn't get it. So now, this is just one out of thousands of mutual funds. How do you pick a mutual fund? Pick a mutual fund that invests in high-quality stocks or bonds, is well-diversified across several industries, sectors of the economy, and in my humble opinion, around the world, has a long-term perspective. They don't think about what's going to happen in the next week, in the next 3 months, next year, what's going to happen in the next 4, 5, 10 years. And a manager, or better yet, a management team with many years of experience. You want to avoid managers that avoid companies that shuffle their managers every few years. Now, this is what Fidelity was famous for. Fidelity was famous for throwing the here, kid, just got out of Stanford, just got out of Harvard, you're a genius. Here's $1 billion. See what you can do. And some people were geniuses. Some people were phenomenal. Peter Lynch. And others, not so good. And why is that? Because they knew that they had 18 months, 2 years at the most, to put up phenomenal numbers. And if they didn't, they're gone. So if you're very, very smart, and these people are, right, you're going to take serious risks. You're going to do your best to make serious money quickly. And what do we know about risk versus return? I don't know if it makes sense. Some of you sports fans. Baseball. Where's my baseball guy? He's in the other class. If you try to hit home runs, you swing for the fences, what are you going to do? Baseball fans. No baseball fans in here? No? You're going to strike out a lot, right. If you throw the Hail Mary pass in football, you're going to get... Don't know, me neither. Intercepted. I don't watch football either. I don't watch baseball. I don't watch other people exercise. But I think, what's the good one in soccer? What would be a good analogy for soccer? No one watch soccer? I guess if you try the long ball or whatever. So you're gonna screw up a lot. You might win big. So now many companies realize that they need to give their managers 4, 8, 10 years. You need to give them, and that's good. That's good. But that's when the American, T. Rowe, Price, Dodge, and Cox, that's the way they've done, and some people in Vanguard, not everybody in Vanguard, they've done that for years. And been around for decades and performed well in good and bad markets. When people say, ooh, look how well we've done in the good market, I'm not interested. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see how well you've done in the good market. In fact, some of them are now, since the last 10 years, The bottom of the market was March 2009, the bottom of the 2008-09 trough, the downturn. So now, looking back 10 years, everybody looks great, 16, 17%. Ooh, look at what we've done. Don't look at 2008. Look at what we've done. I want to know how well you did in 2008. I want to know how well you did in 2002. I want to know how well you did when the organic matter hit the ventilating device, because it's going to happen again. We are not rational individuals. We think, everything's going to be great. Don't worry. This isn't a Pinochet Trump. You've been listening to deranged Donald. The conventional wisdom is if you're the Federal Reserve Board and the economy's doing well, you raise interest rates. You don't lower interest rates. So he's saying, look how well the economy's doing. And if the Federal Reserve Board would only reduce interest rates, we'd be doing even better. And he gets away with it. Okay, so, 85 years. Is that long enough for you? Yeah, this is a company that's been around since 1934. Actually, December 31st, 1933. and they've done about 12%. So now, what I want you to do, and I want you to open up to the into the centerfold. Now, see, you guys don't, but we had, you know, we had to steal our father's Playboy, right? So get together. And the industry, for some odd reason, I guess the Securities and Exchange Commission says that's what you got to do. They use $10,000, as if people have $10,000 lying around the house. Okay, would you get together with Noah so he stops, so he can see this? All right. You put $10,000 away. What did you have at the end of 2017? Okay, this is not 2018. They don't have it. It's out, but I haven't gotten the mail yet. What number? I'll go all the way to the right, all the way to the top. No, not 12 million. 147 million. And what was the rate of return? Yeah. 1934. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Did they have people then? Did they have stock then? It couldn't have been. No one's alive. Oh, there's people who are alive, but who are over 85? Their children and their children's children. So what we said is we're looking for 8, 9, 10%, right? What do these people do? 12%. You understand? And they're not alone. They're not alone, folks. There are other people who have done as well or better. We saw the one at 13%, but that's only since 1973. So, would you be happy with that kind of return? Yeah. But has it been a straight line?
No.
Okay, I want you to go to 1972, and you're going to see some numbers at the bottom. Okay? The second number from the bottom, what number is that? 1972.
Oh, from the bottom.
From the bottom. Second number from the bottom. 1972? That's the bottom number. What's the second number from the bottom? What does that mean? That means your $10,000 has become $1,231,100,000. So it took 40 years almost, not quite, but 38 years for your $10,000 to become $1.2 million. That's in 1972. Okay? Look at 1974.
$840,000.
You were a millionaire. Now, what did you do? What did you do? You wanted to get out, right? Did you get out? No. All right. That's the right answer. Because what is it now in 1976?
That's when they should have pulled out.
Pulled out in 1976?
Yes, if they waited for the same amount of years, it's the
same now. No. This is 147 million.
Oh, okay.
This is only 1,474,000. Okay. Now look at 2001. I think it is 2001. What is it in 2001? 45 million.
45,258,000.
Okay. Okay. Six. What is it in 2002?
38 million.
2007.
70,456.
What is it in
2008? 45,983.
This is what stock investing is like, folks. You're going to have times when you're going to hear people say, ooh, is it too late to get in? And then the next year, maybe a few years later, ooh, is it too late to get out? And so what do you do?
Stay in.
Stay in. And if the world doesn't end, you should do okay. But if there's a tsunami or an earthquake or a nuclear war or we die in our own waste or Donald Trump or disco returns or something like that, then it doesn't matter where your money is, right? It doesn't matter where your money is. If the whole system collapses and there's no food at the Vons, no gas at the Chevron station, the cell phones aren't working, the hospitals, the schools, the banks, the fire departments, the police departments are all shuttered. Yeah, you're not going to worry what's in your Roth IRA or your 401k. I hear beetle grubs are real tasty. I've never tried one. I have had crickets, and I ate a cockroach once. It was good. Chocolate covered. It was really actually pretty good. But chapulines de Oaxaca, muy bueno. They're very good. You can get them down TJ now, right on 5th and Revolution. La Casa de la Talayuda, which is the Mexican pizza. Ask for the chapulines. Anyway, so you see? So are you going to panic?
Yes.
Then you know what? Stick with bonds, right? Or we'll take a look at a balance fund. We'll see that it's not as volatile. Not as volatile. Questions, thoughts? So what I'm hoping we're impressing upon you is the fact that you can't panic. You shouldn't panic. Don't panic. If the world ends, it doesn't matter where your money is. Okay, now, let's take a look at the next page. Is it page? Yeah. Go to page 15. Page 15. Are stocks risky? In the short term, yes. But in the long term, no. As long as we keep a long-term perspective, and the world doesn't end, we should do okay. Now, you put some money into this mutual fund. And this is the A shares, which means you have to pay a commission to your financial advisor. They have other shares where you don't pay the commission. You get screwed. I mean, you get charged every year. But if you just left the money in for a year, there was a 1 in 3 chance that you lost it. Because first of all, you paid 5% to get it in there, right there. So you lost money one in three times. But if you just extend your time horizon to 3 years, it goes from 1 in 3 to what? 1 in 7. See that? Go to 5 years, it goes to 1 in 16 or something like that. What's 16 times 8? Yeah, a little over 1 in 16. And then as long as we kept the money in for 10 years, going back all the way to 1934, we never lost any money. You see that? Yeah.
Is this representing the S&P 500?
Well, this, now, okay. This is an actively managed fund, which means they choose the stocks. They go and knock on the door of Ford and GM and Honda and Toyota, and they decide which ones to buy. Whereas the S&P 500 is just a list of stocks. This mutual fund is often compared to the S&P 500.
And it,
right, exactly. So if you go back to the centerfold, if you go down to the middle of the page on the left, on the right-hand side, where is it? No, where is it? Oh, here it is. The S&P 500 actually did 10.9%. Go to the top one on the right and then down one. And you'll see it's on the centerfold. You'll see the S&P 500 actually did 10.9%. So these guys have beaten the S&P 500 by a little over 1% over 80 years. But it turns into a tremendous sum. How much was the S&P 500? Like 60 million, as opposed to 147 million. So that 1%, what you wouldn't do for that 1%. Now, what about bonds? Let's say you got 6% from bonds. Go to the middle page, where it says stock market with dividends excluded, about 6.9%. You have 2.5 million, which is not bad, but still not that great. And then go to the very bottom where it says the CPI.
Yeah.
That's what you get from banks. You get a little bit more, not much. Let's say 3.6%, maybe you get 4%. So your $10,000 became $200,000 or $250,000. So now do you understand opportunity cost? By staying away from stocks, by making the choice to stay away from stocks, over those 85 years, you gave up over $100 million, right? If you went with bonds, you still did okay, $2.5 million. But by playing it safe and putting it in the bank, you made a couple hundred thousand. But that's, you know, some that's everybody's different. Some people are stupid. I mean, some people are uninformed. They haven't taken Business 121 or Business 123, and they put all their money in the bank. But if you need them, as we said, if you need the money in 6 months, where is it going to go? Either a money market mutual fund or a savings account or a checking account. It's got to be in the bank because we saw we can lose 20% in 1 month, in 1 week, in 1 day. October 19th, 1987, the stock market lost 22.6% in 1 day. Yeah. Okay, cool. Now what's the other one? 20 years. Okay, this is 17? No. 13. Page 13. On the back of the one of the... page 13. Got the guy smiling. The smiling guy. What if you picked the worst day over the last 20 years? What if you waited until everybody said, ooh, is it too late to get in? And then put your money in. What if you picked the best day? You waited for everybody to say, ooh, is it too late to get out? You think the difference would be really big, but it's not. The guy on the left picked the best day, and he wound up with he picked the worst day. He picked got 446. The guy on the right picked the best day, 551. So it's a difference, but it's not a big difference. And the takeaway from that is that you're not going to pick the worst day. You're not going to pick the best day. Every month, $50, $100 a month is going to come out of your paycheck, out of your checking account. And so some days you're going to pick the worst day. Some days you're going to pick the best day. Most of the time you're not going to pick anything. You're not going to pick anything. Okay. Now turn to page, what is it? Six, is it? No, five. Page five. No, page four. Page four. This is a domestic, large cap growth and income fund. Now, this fund was created before they put all these labels on it. But these are the kind of stocks that they own. Most of them are United States based. Some of them are not. They can put up to, I think, 30% outside the United States or 25%, 35%. So do you know most of these companies? Some of them you won't know. But most of them are very large companies. They have their roots deep in the economy. So even though they're in the large cap world with roots deep in the economy, we still saw that they can lose 30%, 40%, especially in 2008. Any questions about any of those companies? Any of them you don't know?
AbbVie.
AbbVie is spun off from Abbott Labs. Abbott Labs has been around for decades, and it's a medical company. They do, whenever you have your blood tested, they take the blood, there's a good chance it goes to Abbott Labs for testing. They have some consumer products, but they also make drugs. And AbbVie is their big drug, they spun that off as a separate company, and they have some blockbuster drugs that everybody has to take. They don't want a drug that cures you. They want a drug you have to take every day for the rest of your life. That's what they want. They don't want you to get better. They just want to keep... Terrible thing to say, isn't it? Is Gilead still on the list? Gilead still there somewhere? Gilead Pharmaceuticals? Gilead Pharmaceuticals. What a great company. Have you ever heard of hepatitis C? Folks, some of you have it. You don't even know it. Many people around the world have hepatitis C. They have no idea they have it. It will never hurt them. They will live a long life, and they'll die from some other reason. Or they'll wake up one day with stage 4 liver cancer and die a horrible death. Now, if you had hepatitis C, wouldn't you like to get rid of it? Gilead Sciences has a drug for you. I forget what it's called. But you take a pill a day for 3 months, 90 pills. Each pill costs $1,000. They hand deliver the pill to you every day. And there's a 95% chance that after 3 months you will not have hepatitis C. If you still have hepatitis C, then you have to do it for another 60 days. And then there's a 99.99% chance that you won't have it. That's another $60,000. You see? Are they still in business? Oh, yes, Gilead Sciences. In fact, they bought one of my favorite companies, Kite Pharmaceuticals. Have you ever heard of Kite Pharmaceuticals? They're based in L.A., and they are a... They're not the only ones. Bluebird Bio, and Juno Pharmaceuticals. Because, do you like cancer? Well, neither do I. I don't like cancer. And none of most people. And we're going to cure cancer. Now, there's a few different things they're working on, but this is the most exciting one. They take your blood out of your system. It takes, not all of it, but take some blood out of your system. And then they genetically modify the T cells, the killer T cells, the leukocytes or the lymphocytes?
Leukocytes.
They genetically modify the leukocytes. These are the cells that figure out, ooh, that's not good. Go get it. And they tell the immune system, go get that. Go get that. Well, cancer's really smart. Cancer goes, ooh, you know, we're part of the body. Don't kill us. Don't come after us. And so they train the killer T cells to recognize the tumor, the cancer, as a foreign body. Put the blood back in your body, and your immune system goes, your immune system, kill that thing! And so you get the worst cold you've ever had, you feel like you're going to die, and 2 weeks later, the tumor's gone. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. Because I just lost a friend. Well, he's my ex-brother. What? Yeah, because chemotherapy will kill you eventually. If the cancer doesn't, the chemo will. I have a friend who's going, she beat cancer, but now she's going through all these blood transfusions because her blood's all messed up because of the chemo. So is this cool? Would you be happy with this kind of return? I hope so. So what do you do about market downturns? The best thing to do is turn off the radio, turn off the television, don't pick up your cell phone and look at things. Just keep a long-term perspective, realize that the world is going to continue to turn, and dollar cost average. You remember this from chapter 11? Dollar cost averaging, it's a horrible name. I've been trying to think of some other name. I like stream of investments, but that's something different. With dollar cost averaging, you're putting in $50, $100 a month, there's always good news. The market's up, good news. You're supposed to say yippee. Market's up, good news.
Yippee.
Yippee. Your account is worth more, so now your $100 is $100.22. Yippee. The market is down, good news. Why? Why is the market being down, good news? Especially if you're young. You want the market to crash. Don't you want to buy things when they're on sale? Oh, it's going up 100%. I'll buy it. Goes down 50%. Oh, no, sell. Get rid of it. Because we're so afraid of loss. We're so afraid of losing. But no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, most mutual fund companies have a system for running hypothetical illustrations. Now, we showed you the ones for bonds, right? Were they exciting? We showed you the ones for stocks. They were pretty darn good. Now what we're going to show you are the ones for a balance fund. Because I know some of you out there are thinking, oh, you can't do that. I don't want to lose that much money. Well, in chapter 12, we showed you this is the Growth Fund of America. That was the one that's on 13%. I showed you the best. Now, this is the balance fund. This is a balance fund. It's a well-run balance fund. It's called the American Balance Fund. How's that for a generic name? And in one form or another, it's been around since 1937. This company took it over in 73. Anyway, so let's take a look at $100 a month for 30 years. Go away. I don't want to see you. Okay. Oops, too much. And did we go through this? Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Be afraid, be very afraid. Figures shown are past results and not predictive results in future periods. Did anybody read all this stuff? It's very useful for if you have insomnia. Okay. So so $100 a month for 30 years. So that's $1,200 a year. And those we started in the March, so we have 9 months. So $900. So and we started in 1999, and the market went two directions, up and way up in the 90s. And then here's 2001. It actually did pretty well in 2001 because bonds did well. But then 2002, it went down. But look, see the difference? Remember how badly the stock fund got hit in 2000 and 2002? Why? Because it had the bond component. Stocks went down in 2000 to 2002, bonds went up. So it had that idea of balancing out, balancing. So we lost a little bit, $1,000. And then in 2007, we had 59,000. And in 2008, we had 45,000 because stocks and bonds went down. We didn't run, we didn't hide. In fact, we put more money in. And finally, after a few years, we're back where we were. And then at the end of March, our 36,000 has become 150,000. An average annual rate of return of about 6%, 8.29%. So, is that not bad? It's not bad. You know, 36,000, what some people pay for a car, over 30 years is not a whole lot of money. $150,000. And the graph is going to show that it's a lot smoother. It's not as bumpy as stocks. See, there is a downturn in 2010, but look, 2008, no. And then we see the exponential curve, but it's much less pronounced. So what if we just extend our time horizon by 10 years? Be afraid, be very afraid. And then we'll do $100 a month for 40 years. And think about it, folks. You're in your 20s, maybe not even 20. You're going to be working for 30, 40, maybe even 50 years. Because you're going to be living to 100, 110, 120. We'll see. We'll find out. I don't know. I won't be around, but you will. Hopefully. Some of you might not make it, but don't get in a car crash. This is what actuaries do. They figure, okay, you're gone. They don't know who. So we did $100 a month for $1,200. I know. They just don't know who. That's the problem. They just go, okay. Out of this group, three of them will be gone by age 50. Six of them will be gone by age 20. Okay. So where were we? Up and way up. We started in 1979 when we had a president named Jimmy Carter, believe it or not. He's still alive. And the market went in two directions in 1980s and 90s, up and way up. And so at the year 2001, 141,000. Next year, 133,000. But we didn't run because look, in 2003 when we invaded Iraq, it's 165. And now here's 2007, we have 226, 2008, but we didn't run, we didn't hide, and we put in a total of 48,000. Obama's, by the way, they talk about which president's been, Obama's been one of the best presidents for the stock market. From 2008, he came in just as it fell, just sheer luck. And so we put in $48,000, and we have a half a million. Not bad.
Would you
over 40 years? But that's pretty good. Would you be happy with a half a million? I hope so. As we'll see, and we get to chapter 14, that's a good amount to have. But here, there's the 2000 to 2002, very less pronounced because of the bond component. But 2008, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. But here's the best part. This is what you're going to do, folks. You're going to start putting $100 a month away, right? Maybe $50. Next year, 110. Oh, double it. If you can double it, that'd be really great. But 110. Two fewer trips to $5. Now people are calling it $10. Do you spend $10 when you go to $5? A Starbucks? Yeah? I like to go in there and just smell it. I love the smell of company. And I walk, use the bathroom and walk away. Okay. So here we go. So we're starting with $100, but notice that our investments are now rising because we're putting in $10 more every year. So 110, next year 120, 130. Can you pull that off? Yeah? Okay. So it's the same time frame, so we should expect to see the same kind of downturns. 2000 to 2002, at the 2001 because bonds went up, Look at the downs. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Not a big difference. But then 2007, 367, 283. But we didn't run them, we didn't hide, and the last 10 years have been really good. So we put in 141,000, and we had 900,000. Now, I don't know if you remember, but the stock has done a whole lot better. Remember the stock was like 1.5 million, 1.48, something like that? But by going with a balance fund, we smoothed out those. Yes.
Why is the last investment always so much, so theoretical?
Because it's only the first 3 months. We started in April 1st, and then we ended March 31st. So we, if you notice, the first year was less than the second year.
So you're only paying for the months.
Yeah, this one starts April 1st of 2079. So that first year we only had 9 months to put in $100. And then all of them go higher, and then the last year it's less because we only did it for 3 months. Yes?
Is that the American Balance Fund?
That's the American Balance Fund. But again, I'm not trying to sell you American Balance Fund. It's a very good fund. I own it. I recommend it to certain people. When they get to be my age, unless they're really worried. I mean, if they're the kind of person who's just terrified of losing money, then if you can get them to go with a balance fund. Remember, we teach the 123 class as if you are going to go on to become a financial advisor. So I hope you'll recommend that to your clients, that they, if they're, especially if they're young, you'll get people. This is emotion. You'll get people. In fact, we have a couple of scenarios like this. You'll get people who are in early 20s, and they're in their 401k meeting, and they'll say, well, which one, can I not lose money? And they'll say, well, you have to put it in a stable, sometimes called stable money market fund. Okay, I'm going to put everything in the money market fund. Bad idea. They're going to get the horrible rate of return. And they've got 30, 40 years. They should be, I try to get people started here. That's where I try to get people started. Unless they're terrified, and then over here are balanced. If they're really gung-ho, maybe $50 here, $50 there. Then you'll get people in their 50s who haven't put a dime away, who come up to you and go, why didn't you tell me this 30 years ago? And they want to go, they want to put everything up on red number 7. Is that a good idea?
Go big or go home.
Oh, what?
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home, right? Go home, don't go big. Why? Because what's going to happen? Yeah, when there's a down year, they're really screwed. They're going to panic. They're going to sell everything at the worst possible time.
They have the time too, to make them
money. Exactly. They have far less time. They need to be... Yeah. Although it depends. You know, some people in their early 50s, they might still have 20 years left. You know, people are living longer. People are working longer. So we'll see when we get to chapter 14. So is that cool? Called American Balance Fund. But I'm not recommending that you go out and buy the American Balance Fund. Okay? Go take Business 123 first. Okay, before you... Well, no, you guys, you can always contact me. I'll be happy to sit down and talk. I can talk about this far longer than most any reasonable person would ever want to listen. Yes, Eric?
For how long have you been investing?
A long time. Well, I'll tell you a little story. I got here on campus. I had no idea what I was doing. I was a computer programmer out in the industry, scientific. I have a math degree. I did calculus. I did robotics, and I did statistics and graphics, and I had a blast. But I wanted to work more with people, so I saw this little advertisement that data processing instructor, now we call it CIS. Full-time, temporary. So I said, what the hell are they going to do, fire me? It's only one semester, right? I applied for the job, and I got it. I was surprised I got the job. I came on campus, and a gentleman by the name of Tom Crescenzo, who passed away 20 years ago, who was brilliant. He was an economics teacher. He was from Philadelphia. He was also Italian, so he took me under his wing. He's about 10 years, a little over 10 years older than I was. And I was 25, folks. I was 25 years old. Remember 1983? They had computers then, right? And it was just, that was the time when AIDS was coming around. And MTV. It was a very different world. And he said, Frank, this is a great job. You're going to love it. And I want you to start investing in a 403B. And I said, what's that, Tom? He said, oh, it's like a 401k. It's like an IRA. It's a retirement account. You start investing in that. You stay here. You're going to do great. I said, okay, Tom. So I did. My first semester, I started putting money away in a 403b. Most people wait for years before they do that. About 10 years later, we lived fairly close to one another. So every once in a while, we would carpool. My car was in the shop for whatever reason. So he's taking me down I-5. He lived in Point Loma. I lived in Ocean Beach still. And so he's going, Frank, you still putting money away in that 403b? I said, oh, yeah, Tom. I'm still putting money away. He goes, you know, I'm 52. I'll do all right. I'm going to retire at 60. But I sure wish I had put money away in a 403B. And I'm, oh, really? Wow. And I'm thinking, he must have known he didn't need to. 4 years later, he died. He got some real weird lung ailment where his lungs just dissolved. A little airy, what are they called? Alveoli. The alveoli just dissolved, and he died. They didn't put a dime away. He didn't need to. I'm going to live forever. I've been putting money away for 36 and a half years. So if you want to know what it is, and by the way, I wasn't going to tell you guys. I'll tell you. I put in the paperwork yesterday. I'm retiring. They made us an offer we can't refuse. Financially, it's a no-brainer. They're going to pay us a ton of money to go away, so thank you very much. But it might not work out. We'll see. I'll tell you next week. We'll know by next week. If not enough people join, then they're going to take it away and I'll stay for another year. I wasn't going to retire this year. I felt low. I get to torture students and they pay me to do it. Think about that. So you call? Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. I don't have to work anymore. Financially, I don't have to work anymore. I love what I do.
I really want to take your one to
Oh, it's online. Everything's online. Okay. Remember, everything's online. Somebody else is going to teach it in the fall. Maybe I'll teach it in the fall. I don't know. But it'll be online in the fall. But all my materials are online. I'll keep them there, assuming I'm not dead. You know, they'll be up there. Somebody will pay the bill for my website. So everything's online to take it. And you can, of course, you can contact me. Join the investment club. The investment club's really cool. Now, here it is. We have been assuming you're in your 20s, early 20s, maybe a little... You know, whatever, you're at 20 years old, and you got 40 years. This is when people from their 50s come in. Why didn't you tell me this 25 years ago, right? And so what do they have to do?
More money.
They need more money, right. So let's say they put $500 away, but they only got 20 years. So here's $500 for 20 years. They put $120,000 in. They have $266,000. Do you remember? Time is the exponent. They don't have as much time. So that's why we want to get you guys started early. $50. Every dime you pay AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile, pay yourself. Yes?
Could you exponentially put more money as you get more
money? Oh, sure. I'm not saying you should stay at $50 a month. Some people will put more money as they can afford it. But don't kill the present. I've had people say, I'm going to put $400 a month away. Is he sure? Oh, yeah. And then 3 months later, I can't give it. Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah.
For funds, do you have to have initial deposit?
Some of them want you to have $3,000 or $10,000. No, stay away from those. No, not if you say, I'd like to put $50 a month away. I'll say, okay, fine. Because what they don't want you doing is sending them a check for $50 a month. Okay. Go, because that costs them $5, $10 to process the check. They want you to set up an automatic deposit through your 401k, through your Roth IRA from your bank or from your paycheck, and then it doesn't cost them a dime, right? It's all electronic. But yeah, some of them want $3,000, but if you just talk to them and say, look, I'm going to put $50 a month away, it's okay, fine. You have to give them a voided check and fill out the paperwork. Make sense?
Yeah. So on that list, mutual funds and 401k
are
different, but...
The 401k is the bucket.
So, TransAmerica, what is that?
TransAmerica is actually an insurance company, but they have mutual funds too. And they will sponsor the 401k through your employer. And then there will be mutual funds that you choose inside the 401k. The 401k is just a bucket. A Roth IRA is just a type of account, a regular account, and we can put different investments in them. Mostly 401ks are going to have mutual funds. Some of them will let you pick your own stocks and bonds. That's called self-directed. Don't do it. But if you're going to do it, take Business 123 first, okay? Take Business 123 because you'll learn about which stocks to avoid, which stocks to go with, and if you want, maybe you want to go with a real hot stock, but you realize you're going to get burned probably. Did I answer your question? Do you have Transamerica? Okay. They're goofy. I hate them.
So you don't need an initial deposit open.
If it's a 401k, they'll let you put $25 a month out of your paycheck. Come see me. Bring the materials. It's probably online now. They used to give you the materials, but now they go to this website. But if we go to the website, we'll see what the choices are. I'll tell you, I think this is good. I think this is good. That's horrible. And the rest, I don't know. Let's do some research. And I never trust an insurance company. Never trust an insurance company with your investments. The big jerks.
But that's like my company.
Right. They contracted with Transamerica. Transamerica said, oh, yes, we'd be happy to service your employees. We had Nationwide on your backside. And they were just horrible. And I kept complaining to the human resources folks up there. I said, do you realize these guys are screwing us? Do you realize? And they're going, no. So one of the women took my class, took the Business 123 class, and she sent me an email. Frank, they're screwing us. I said, I told you they're screwing us. So finally they got rid of them, and now they have Great West. They call it Empower. We're being a little bit screwed, not as much as we were.
A little bit screwed.
And if this goes through, and I actually wind up retiring, June 1st, actually I'm going to submit it before that, June 1st, I'm taking every dime out of Empower and sending it to American, and they're going to go, oh, why are you taking, don't you want to talk to us about an annuity? Yeah, I'll talk to you about annuity. Where do you want to hear what I got to say about annuity? That's what they want you to do. The insurance company is going to have you invest for your lifetime, whatever. Maybe you don't work there forever, but they're not going to want you to take the money out. They're going to want you to turn it into an annuity because they make tons of money off annuities. And they'll send the representative on a 7-day cruise in the Caribbean. So cool! Be cool. And then we won't thwack. This is our last chance to thwack the insurance company. Remember the insurance company? Let's do it anyway. $60 a month for 30 years. Remember they were going to give us $17,751? The balance fund gives us $90. Not as much as the stock fund, but not as risky. Okay, good. Okay, let's continue. Are you excited?
Yeah.
And here, you want to read about the American Balance Fund? Go right ahead. And then here's the ICA. And then Vanguard, American, Fidelity, Dodge & Cox, T. Rowe Price. T. Rowe Price is a very good company. Dodge & Cox. Six of these companies I really like. Four of them, okay. Two of them. All right, so good. Now, am I trying to sell you American Balance Fund, Investment Company of America? No, not at all. I'm not trying to sell you these companies. But I think they're good ones. But there are dozens out there. And these, you remember this slide from chapter one? Remember this slide? All of these mutual funds. There's T. Rowe Price. There's Franklin, Fidelity. Vanguard's got one on the list. There's Dodge & Cox. This is American. Templeton, that's Franklin Templeton. Have been around for over 50 years. And look, 11, 11 and a half, 12, almost 13. They got hit last year. They were doing over 13 before 2018. But still, 1956, 2000. So, now, the problem with these, not that there's a problem, but they're mostly all domestic, which is right now, in my humble opinion, if you're just getting started, especially if you're young, you want to be global. But there are very few global funds that have been around that long because 50 years ago, people didn't invest globally. They invested in the good old USA. But that doesn't mean they're not good companies outside the United States. Do you know where, did I tell you that already? Where Coca-Cola is in Atlanta, 80% of their money comes from outside. I asked you where 7-Eleven is from, right?
Japan.
Japan, yeah. Okay, so anyway, choose a fun family and stick with them. There's a saying, and it's been shown to be statistically true. Most mutual fund investors do worse than the mutual funds they invest in. Huh? How could the mutual fund investors do worse than the mutual funds they invest in? Very easy. Market's up. Ooh, is it too late to get in? The market's down. What do? Ooh, is it too late to get out? They take it all out, put it in the money market, wait for the market to go up 50%, they go put it back in. So you're not going to do that, right? You're going to choose a good mutual fund, maybe a balanced fund if you're frightened. Hopefully growth in income, maybe a growth. 50-50, 50 bucks here, 50 bucks there. And just let it fly. Every year, take a look at it. If it's really a stinker, you know, change. But make changes judiciously and sparingly. You like those words? Judiciously. I love saying judiciously. As you approach retirement, see what I'm doing now is I'm putting new money in the balance fund. It's a global balance fund, by the way. Putting money in the global balance fund. Dollar cost averaging $50 a month, $100 a month, whatever you can afford. But forget about them. It makes investing boring, but it works. Cool? Oh, I'm so proud of you. Now, these things are old. If you want to keep them, you can, all right? Because they have to be thrown away anyway, as soon as I get the new ones. But if you don't want them, give them back. I'll use them again. If you don't want them, but they have to be thrown away, actually, pretty soon. Cool? Okay, good. Okay, stapler? Stapler? Yes. Thank you. Oh, don't forget, baffle the broker! Anybody got a baffle the broker for me? Any questions about stocks? Insurance? Interest? Payments? Cars? Houses? Finance? Smart things like... Oh, there's the exam. Okay. So, how are you doing?
Okay.
You sure? You got to catch up because you still owe me some exams, right? Okay, so contact me. You got this thing called email now.
Okay.
You can email me. So we'll make time. Monday afternoon? 1 o'clock? Okay. Okay, so, baffle the broker. If you have any questions, like where do babies come from? Okay.
That's what's hard to
do. Oh, yeah, who snuck in late? They turned us off.